All right. Thank you,
That
Alan,
was the end of.
for taking the time to read that for us. And as I stated to everyone, please, any questions that you have regarding this report, you can put that in the chat, or either, yeah, put it in the chat so that we can capture it and submit it back to Katia. It's a wonderful report with a lot of things that have taken place, and I'm thankful to hear that there was a meeting where the program director and the GM were able to be together to get things done. So before we move forward, thank you, Adele. Please go ahead. I saw your hand up.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to ask, would it be okay to post that report in the chat? I have the capability of doing that if that's permissible. Hello?
I'm sorry, I muted myself. Excuse me. Please go ahead, and you can put it in the chat. It's a public meeting, and that's what she would have shared with us.
All right.
Thank you.
Sure.
Okay. Is there anyone else before we move forward? Okay. The next item is the general manager's report. And I have to ask, I see a report from the interim director of public affairs. Ellen, did we receive a report from the general manager?
I haven't seen one yet. I'll check.
Okay.
It might have come
Thank
in
you.
After.
Okay. So, and while you're doing that, Alan, I'm going to go ahead and move on to the one from the interim program, public affairs director. And I'm going to go ahead and this time and read it while you're looking for that one. It says, report to the WPFW station board from Esther Rivera, interim director of public affairs and interim co-director of development, date July 12, 2023. This summary is divided into updates in development, public affairs, programming, and other station functions. Development. Since my last report to the board in May, we held our spring membership drive, during which we raised an impressive $221,000 in 3 weeks. Despite serious disruptions and despite the economically uncertain times faced by our members, we did not extend the drive a fourth week, common practice in years past. Confident that we will raise additional $79,000 to make up the shortfall. As part of the drive, which had the theme Always There, we created and offered several new station logo items, including a WPFW bucket hat and new t-shirts. Other popular thank you gifts included Harry Belafonte, memoir, My Songs, and the latest book by the historian Gerald Horn, Revolting Capital, Racism and Radicalism in Washington, D.C., 1900 to 2000. We also scheduled and hosted several classes for show producers, some of whom have raised little to no funds in the past, but did raise their first funds and even reached a show goal, this May. After the drive, the station held the fundraiser book launch for Gerald Horn's book, Revolting Capital. It was an exciting standing room only night for our listeners in the Festival Center, which raised $10,386 in ticket sales, books and tickets combination and sponsorship separate from the $7,000 raised in donations for the book only during the drive. Thank you to those board members who financially supported, attended, and assisted at the event. Since that event, we have launched a mini campaign reaching out to selected donors with the ability to a goal of matching funds that will be raised during the fund, during the drive. Please contact me if you would like to support this effort. So I'm taking it to mean for the upcoming fund drive. We have also submitted two applications for grants, started the process for creating a development plan for the station, turned in our documents to get paid for our wolf trap promo, and started working with Miss Gloria Turner for the annual WPFW Blues Festival date, August 19th, and about the possibility of having a version of our U Street Jam somewhere other than U Street while the Prince Hall building is under renovation. The dates for the summer drive have been moved up a week, so the weeks will be August the 5th through the 18th. But the logistics of the drive administrations are uncertain as the program director was not able to attend our meetings, and we cannot effectively collaborate and plan. So we'll wait to hear more regarding the fund drive. Public affairs programming. We continue to launch new programs to fill holes in the grid. I mentioned in May the downsizing of Sojourner Truth to one day a week, which is Tuesdays at 5 p.m. So on Thursdays at 5 p.m., we're airing economic updates by Richard Wolf, and at 5:30 p.m., Extinction Rebellion Radio by Alcee Lane and Matthew Kearney. Another new show is Black-Owned Conversation, and it's hosted by John Jeter and Denise Young, Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Other new shows are launching soon to increase our coverage of the district, Maryland, and Virginia, to give our listeners more opportunities to call in and dialogue with hosts. Again, and this brings up an issue about working between the program director, and so it's stating that they're hoping to get those things worked out. And there's some other information here regarding an issue with getting information out to the FCC, where there was a little bit of collaboration that did not take place. So the FCC report for WPFW did finally go out, and it was the second quarter, and it was done by the deadline of June the 20th. Other administrative, we're working to reinstitute a reliable traffic system and log for what is on the air, which will be important as we solicit and secure more of the limited underwriting approved by the PMB. Because so much of the staff works remotely, we're exploring the option for a virtual log. I continue to work with Jerry and Mo in the matter of our current studio and relocation. And this is the public affairs report. Any questions or comments? I see Irene's hands up. Go ahead, Irene.
I have a two-part question here. One is, have we received the results of the last fund drive, how certain programs have done and what they have raised?
Okay. Ellen, have we received such a report?
You would have to ask the someone who is paid staff. They would know.
Okay.
I don't think I haven't received. I don't think so. But
okay.
You have to ask paid staff. I wouldn't know.
Okay. Thank you. And Irene, if you will allow, we'll reach out to the paid staff to see if there is such a report, and then be able to get that information out to the board members. Is that?
And Yes, that is sufficient. If we can make that an agenda item for the next meeting, I'd appreciate it. A report out and a readout of the last fund drive as to what shows made their goals, whether they made them, exceeded, or fell short. We need to see that. We need to see that after every fund drive. The second part of this question is in regards to the SOPs. I need to ask both the program director and the public affairs director as to their SOP, that is, how they choose what programs hold what slots, how they, how they solicit shows for the slot. I noticed the 4 o'clock Saturday slot used to be an R&B slot, and that slot was worth at least $3,200 every Saturday during the fund drive. And I'd like to know how that 4 o'clock slot is doing now. And I would also like to know, these new programs that are coming on, what is the standard operations procedure as for picking these shows and putting them in those slots?
Madam Chair, may I ask quickly, are we at community comments now or is that at 8:30?
And being on a different time zone, I don't know if it's 8:30 or 6:30, but if it resorts to a response to my question first, I'd appreciate it, Mr. Ramsey. And sure. Then after that, we can ask your question.
Thank you. Minerva, Madam Chair, you're muted.
I'm sorry. Irene, what I would like to do is let's put your questions on hold for a moment, then let's go into public comment because this is their time from 8 to 8:30. And since we're a little bit late, it's going to be 8:03 to 8:33. Okay.
Okay. Appreciate so it. Thank you.
So at this time, we have it open for public comments.
Madam Chair, what's the time?
It's from 8:03.
How long do they have for each comment?
They have their 30 time. Minutes. Yes, so it would be till 8:33. Okay.
I got you on that in total. Each
Thank
individual
you.
Is my question.
Oh, I'm sorry. For the individuals, I think that we've normally given them 30 seconds, if I'm thinking correctly.
Traditionally, it was 2 minutes.
Yeah.
I'm
minutes.
Sorry. 2 minutes.
Correct. Traditionally,
okay.
It was 2 minutes. Yes. All right.
Thank All you. Right. So the individuals that would like to take part in public comment, which is the public, you've got 2 minutes. So do we see any hands up?
I'd like to comment. Hello.
All right. Please go ahead.
I'm sorry. I don't know how to use the, I don't have the Zoom on my phone.
That's okay. Go ahead, ma'am.
Is it me?
Yes, please.
Hello. Okay.
Yes,
thank
ma'am.
You.
We can hear you. Please go ahead.
All right. Thank you. This is Star Bowie. For at least 2 or 3 years, I was on the program committee as a volunteer and worked against the takeover of the station by John Hughes' faction quite a bit. And I wanted to, there's an awful lot to address here, but I'm extremely concerned about the charges that have been made against Esther and others, apparently as being too communist or whatever. I think that especially considering that they're, you know, coming from parties that are not totally responsible, I think, to the overall mission of Pacifica. And I'd like to point out that Pacifica is supposed to be addressing progressive issues that have to do with all ethnicities on a class basis as well as a racial basis. And sometimes a good job is done at that, no question about it. But very, very often there's a perspective that's lacking and a tendency to stay just slightly to the left of the Democratic Party. And I don't think it really answers the kind of crisis that we're in socially and environmentally today. And I do want to raise just some of the things that I've observed, because I think that Esther and I have political differences. But I think that I really respect her hard work and her carefulness about what she's doing and her integrity. And I'm not sure that's always as present as it could be with some of the people who have been critical, but with the time that's allotted, it's really hard for me to go into examples of that. Maybe if I get a second chance, I do want to finish some of the comments about a couple of the programmers, a couple of the people who are in leadership right now at the station. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'd like to come back if there's time. Thank you.
Okay. If there is time, we will allow you to come back. Thank you, ma'am. Okay, and I see Mo Thomas. I saw your hand up.
Yes, good evening, everyone. Mo Thomas here, your chief engineer. And I'd like to, to what degree possible, stick with engineering matters. So it has come up over the last few months that you have not had an engineering report. You don't really know what's going on in the engineering area. And I just wanted to assure you that our work is continuing, and we've been able to get the HD1 channel on the air. It is doing quite well. We have gotten some feedback from our listeners, and they're very happy with the audio quality. So that's something I'm particularly proud of. We only have HD1 going right now. We have HD 2, 3, and 4 capability already fired, and they are standing by. They are not on because we simply don't have the programming to fill those channels just yet.
But Madam Chair. Madam Chair.
Just one moment. This is public comment time.
Well, I know it's public comment. That's why I'm trying to get your attention. Do we have any other public comment?
Excuse me, everyone. Let me just say this. Public comment is for anyone who is not an LSB board member. So.
Okay. All right. But he's the engineer. I'm just saying we could carve out some time.
Okay.
We can carve out some time for him to give a report, you know.
Okay. Wait a minute. Let me just
not
share with you.
Not a public comment.
Let me just share with you, and Mr. Tatum, would you like to, if the public comment, there's nowhere in the Pacifica bylaws that identifies
who the public comments are from.
We're not going to go through this. Miyuki and others have spoken. So what I'm going to ask you, Mr. Pinchback, to do is to hold on to your thoughts until we finish public comment, and I'm going to let this gentleman continue. Thank you.
My point is that I would like to really hear a good engineering report where we could ask questions.
Okay, and Mr. Pinchback, we're in public comment.
I'm good.
Please. Thank you. And go ahead, Kamal, how much time does Mr. Thomas still have?
Mr. Thomas has 36 seconds.
One thing, the interruption does not count toward his time.
Thank you. And
I'll add
30
seconds. I have no problem doing that if you'd like. We can start it over at 2 minutes.
Yes, please do that.
Your call. 2 minutes?
2 minutes.
Okay. Yes.
All right. You got it. Done.
I thank you, Madam Chair, and I thank you for the privilege to address you. Again, we have been able to do many good things as far as audio signal quality is concerned. I assert to you and to our audience that the quality of our signal has been greatly improved over the last 5 years, and it is due to your diligent efforts in fundraising, and it is due to monies being made available to my office to apply directly to the station's engineering needs. We are still addressing the turntable reliability issue. We are still addressing the CDs. The CDs get a lot of work. CD players get a lot of work. We do have spares on hand. And we are continuing to both monitor and repair those things that need to be repaired in the studio and at the transmitter. Just incidentally, there was a huge thunderstorm on Sunday and another little one on Monday. They had detrimental effects at the transmitter. They kicked out the air conditioners. A majority of our PA modules went thermal. The transmitter went into protect mode and shut down to under 10%. I was at the transmitter yesterday, midday. I was able to reset it. We are back up at full power. And none of our major systems were adversely impacted. I just wanted to make that clear because some reports of scratchy signals, thank you, were reported, and we got that squared away. So the bottom line is that we're doing well in engineering, and I really do thank you for your continuous support. Thanks. That completes.
Thank you, Mo. Oh,
all right. Thank you. And next, I see Michael Byfield.
Hello?
Yes, Mr. Byfield, go ahead, please.
Yes, first I'd like to express my great appreciation for what Donnie McKeffen did as a music programmer on both Thursday and Sunday, which he finally ended up working. It was one of my favorite programs. I also thought Miyuki did an excellent job on the first Sunday that he was absent. I didn't think we needed to do anything on Independence Day when his audience is really on a Sunday, but that's neither here nor there. I'm going to stick to my complaint about the board that is representing us that saw it fit to obstruct and sabotage $500,000 over a 5-year period, which amounted to a little over $12,000 a month in rent. And we're now struggling to make that up, including the program director who was instrumental in that, when her paycheck comes out of that, and she wasn't working since October last year. As a contributing member, I really don't, I think that's a disservice to all of us who support the station. And I'd also like to express my dissatisfaction with that relocation committee. And what it says to me is that the people that operate in that capacity show their irrelevance from the finance committee all the way down. And I apologize for people who put their order time into that. But if we don't believe that $12,000 a month is worth risking, if we think we can just throw that away and then try to act as if we're stewards of good financing when we're sitting in a meeting, then we're really kidding ourselves. I think those people ought to resign and give new way to people who fully understand the importance of money, especially in a pro, you know, a volunteer radio station that relies on people like myself that volunteer their time and their money to such a radio station. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, sir. Let's see. I have Miyuki Williams.
Good evening. Thank you very much. Michael, thank you for those kind words. Just so you know, I was one of the people who participated on the Independence Day of Donnie, and people are so brokenhearted. They appreciated the extra 15 hours of programming, and they look for it still. So I did my last show for Donnie's music. His audience is palatably hurt, and they expressed it over and over again, and they appreciated everything that was done extra. So just so you know that. In terms of just general comments, I was wondering where the GM was. He wasn't at the meeting, finance meeting, and he's not here today. And I'm very concerned because I know that you, as members of LSB, understand what's going on. If we receive the finance report, we have $9,500 in the bank. We have $211,000 of payables, and we missed both June and July's rent payments. So we are significantly behind. I understand that from the report from the co-interim development director that $10,000 was raised Gerald Horn, but you know, when he needed $80,000 in order to catch up. And I don't know what else has been going on to do those type of things to raise money for the station. I just sent to Ellen and Dennis, and if you could distribute it to the rest of the members of LSB, I received a reprimand on May the 13th for comments that I made. I'm not going to go to it all. There's an email that explains it all. I don't want to take the time to do that, except for to say that
30 seconds.
Thank you. The charges were sort of manufactured against me. And I feel like similarly, this charge against people that you perceive as taking down the festival center were done as the same way. And, you know, it's almost Trumpian or Rudy Giuliani-ish the way that it was created to blame things. The focus has to be on the fact that we need to raise money and we need to do better stewardship of this, of the station. We're in lots of trouble here, and to spend, you know, the first hour of the meeting to debate the things that we did, I think we're sort of not keeping our eyes on the prize. So I really, again, appreciate the work you have to do, but please understand that not only WPFW, but Pacifica is in deep, dire financial need of leadership and work that'll be done to change all of that. And, I'm sure I'm out of time. So thank you very much. If there's more time later, I'll continue with the rest.
Thank you, Miyuki.
All right. Thank you. Let's see. Tom Cole.
Yes, I just wanted to respond to something that Michael Byfield said about the relocation committee. We worked very hard to find reasonable locations for the station at an acceptable price. As was pointed out in numerous communications, the Festival Center was less than a fifth the size of our current space. Even if we're not utilizing all of the current space, it still would have been too small for us to continue operating as we are. And that was one of the primary reasons why we chose to take a different approach rather than going with the immediate offering that was made by the Festival Center. I think Miyuki raises a very good point too about the finances of the station. And, you know, to respond to what Mo said, it's, I think a valid question to ask how much money has the HD channel brought in so far? Is it justifying the massive expense that it cost to launch it? Again,
30 seconds.
Station finances and the management of those finances do not seem to be being done in a reasonable fashion. That's all.
All right. Thank you, Tom. Let's see. We still have, it's 8:20. Do we have other members of the public that would like to respond at this time? Again, this is community comment.
I'd like to go again if there's time, since there is time.
All right. Go ahead, ma'am.
Okay. I'm just going to rapidly give some examples, and I just want to say they do come from Verna show, and I am not picking Verna to speak about because I think that, you know, she's a bad programmer or any worse than others. Quite the contrary. I think that many view her as the gold standard, and I therefore think that and I actually have donated to her program when she had things on that had nothing to do with communism. Once she had three ministers on, it was a very moving show, and I donated to that. However, I think that it's a good example to look at when she does do what many of the programs do, Esther being an exception, Netza being an exception. Some other people are always, you know, trying to be on point about race and class. But here are the examples. She commented about on one show about 3 years ago that the opioid crisis was receiving a lot of attention in the media because it affected white people, and she contrasted that to the lack of attention to the burning of black churches. And ordinarily, that kind of comparison is really valid, that unquestionably news about problems faced by communities of color are ignored. But in this case, actually, there was a real class component, because for at least 10 years in the corporate press, there was little news items. What they do is they'll bury it on the back pages. But item after item came up about the huge number of deaths in these white rural communities. And it was clearly, you know, a crisis that local officials in those communities were talking about. It never hit the mainstream. It was a good 10 years. Same thing with the burning of the black churches. They did mention them. They just bury it way back. But somebody who is a programmer, especially of Verna's stature, she was the national director, as I understand, political director, she should be aware of these things. And I think if there were more of an eye to class-based issues, she would have been. And there are a couple of more examples.
Ma'am.
Thank you. This is going to take months to do, but
all right.
We'll get
Thank
there.
You for your comments. And remember, next month, we do have the community comment again for you. Now, let's see. I'm going to go to an individual who hasn't spoken yet, and it's Ambrose Lane Jr. So, Mr. Lane, would you please go ahead and share, and then we'll go to Miyuki and Michael, unless there's someone else that hasn't spoken that would like to speak.
Yes, good evening, everyone. How's everybody doing? I hope you all are doing fine. There are certainly comments that I would like to make, and notwithstanding some of the points that have been raised, because I think that they are legitimate points, whether or not it's dealing with finances and rent and space and all of that, programming, all of that. I just think, and I'd like to suggest that everyone, whether or not it's management, whether or not it's programmers, whether or not it's members of the public, really focus on making sure that WPW is a solvent organization, that is a sustainable organization for the future. I think that we sometimes get bogged down by individual issues, but we really need to have a more collective focus on making sure that WPFW is financially stable and solvent moving into the future. And I would also suggest that the LSB create something similar to a suggestion box, so that members of the public, as well as programmers, as well as management and staff, can submit suggestions as to how WPFW can raise money, especially suggestions that do not depend on the number of donors that we have and the number of those that contribute during pledge drives. We really need to diversify funding streams, funding income streams. And
30 seconds.
And that can't happen if 95 to 97% of the monies that come in come from fund or pledge drives. We have to diversify it. We need to lower that number to more closer to 70%. And we need suggestions from everybody, from the public, from programmers, from staff, from everyone. Thank you.
Okay.
You're on mute.
Sorry, and thank you. I see Michael's hand. I don't see Miyuki.
Yeah.
So go ahead, Michael.
Yes. To answer to the sum of what I heard, I was the former chair of the relocation committee that moved to L Street and to K Street. And we had people that disagreed with that. And I understood that. But you know what? We did not try to sabotage the station or make it homeless because we had some disagreements. What's happening now is a group of people, because they do not like, or they want to get rid of the general manager and probably don't like the interim program director, decided to, for a scorched earth policy. And they think we can burn the building down and then start over again. It doesn't work like that. Okay. And some of those people ought not to be on our board because they missed the picture. And I continuously say that because that's so fundamental, because they don't understand money. $12,000 when you raise money a month is a lot of money, and it's hard work to do it. And for them to do that and to continuously try to come up with excuses, I'm going to continue to shine that light in their face. That space was more than enough. I've been to K Street. It's empty for the last 3 years. We hardly have any programmers in there. What are you telling me? And by the way, Miyuki came on the air and berated the station and asked people not to donate. I called in, and I wasn't the only one that came to a board meeting and asked for her to be removed. And I love Miyuki. I love her show, and I like her as a person.
All right. Thank you, Michael. Miyuki, I saw your hand up, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
I'll give you a copy of it if you want. I taped it.
Your time is up, Michael.
Okay, Michael. Even though I know that Kamal didn't say your time was up, you paused, so I thought you were finished. Have you completed your statement?
My apology.
Okay. I'm going to move forward with Miyuki because we only have we have 5 minutes. So if you want to say something afterwards, you're welcome to do so. Please go ahead, Miyuki.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Michael, thank you. I just sent out a response to Jerry, to Mo, to Stephanie, and some of the board members. If Dennis or Ellen, if you could post it in the chat or share it with the rest of the board members. What you say is absolutely not true. I went back and listened to the tape as well. What I said was I don't even want to explain. I explained in email. If you want to see it, it's on the email. More importantly, we talk about not only making money, it's how we spend money. Why do we have an interim public affairs person when we already have our program director back? And why isn't that same person working harder to raise money for the station? And why, that's extra the consultant fees for WPFW have gone up significantly. And that's something that we cannot afford. What is it that they're bringing to the table? And so that's really something that I think that we need to address and understand. The relocation committee did not try to blow anything up. And you're just like you exaggerated or say something incorrect about what I did. And I have the tape as well. And I welcome anyone, if they want it, I'll be happy to provide it to you. I did not try to take the station down. I never said don't give money to the station. I never said that. I have been so careful in not telling the press that the reason why I quit suddenly on that Sunday was because I don't know what else to do to register my dismay with the management, that I didn't want to betray the audience and I didn't want to betray my coworkers. So I quit so that I wouldn't have to try to raise money and be a hypocrite. And that's why I quit in that moment. I haven't told the press. They've contacted
30 seconds.
Times. Thank you. And so similarly, with the relocation committee, there should have been an investigation. The manager should have spoken to people that supposedly did whatever they did. And then he should have understood, after he talked to them, then manage the situation to say, look, is this what you all did? If they said yes, then he said, well, we need to go over there and apologize and we need to straighten out. If they say no, then he said, well, we need to go over there and we need to make sure that they know that's not what you intended. The way it was handled was poor because we do not have a strong manager. And all of this is coming apart, folks. Again, go back to look at the finance committee report. Look at where we are with dollars. Look at the Pacifica dollars. We are in deep and dire, you know, circumstances, and we can't keep doing this. And then, you know, when you, you know, I understand that you support your wife, Michael, and that's a wonderful thing. But for you to care, you know, call for my resignation because you don't like, you know, and then she blames me for the loss of the drive. And I did not do that. She did not pledge every Democracy Now like Katia would pledge and pitch, I'm sorry, until she was hoarse.
What's the time?
I'm sorry?
No.
I'm sorry?
The mall is the time.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
All right. Thank you.
The parliamentarian has asked me only to speak once. 30 seconds, the control is for the chair. I'll give you a 30-second marker only.
Thank you. I didn't hear you. I'm sorry. I didn't realize I was there. Thank you, though. I'm sorry.
Yep.
All right. So we have, let's see the time. We've got 2 minutes. Is there anyone else
I'd
from
like to
the
speak
public
again.
That? I'm sorry. Go ahead, ma'am.
I'd like to speak again.
All right.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Just another example. Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you. Another example, I think, of where there was a missed opportunity. Verna has more than once on her show, and I'm going to be talking about other shows in the future. So this, again, is not only Verna by any means. She talked about the vote. She was out canvassing for Obama in his first election, and I think she was somewhere in Virginia, and she knocked on the door of a white couple. The woman came to the door. Vernon talked about why she was there. The woman excused herself and went back to talk to her husband and came forward and said, yes, we're going to vote for the, and she used, you know, the N-word, the epithet. And this story, I mean, I'm sure this is quite a shocking story, and I have no problems personally. I don't think anybody would with Vernon repeating the story. But I think that, you know, we need to also look at the other side of it and examine that somewhat. And that is that what were the factors that went into a couple that is backward enough to use these terms that, and I was schooled in the 1950s for a year in one of those rural communities in Virginia. Some of the people don't know another word for people African-American descent, but that's no excuse still. But talk about that, but also talk about the fact that people who are apparently not educated enough to hide, you know, their use of those terms, that they actually were going to vote for Obama based on what they, on his ability to lead them out of an economic crisis. And I think that would be important. Also, I mean, she did come back to the door. I don't know what her tone of voice was, but by all means, repeat that story, but put it. The station broadcast itself, or it has talked about the fact that it has this, you know, radius. It can reach people in West Virginia and all kinds in Delaware, other areas. We are not taking advantage. I mean, the station is not taking advantage of the outreach to the kind of people who voted for Obama in one election and Trump in the next. Almost no work is done to really even a half hour once every 2 weeks. You know, where you actually address some of the economic concerns would be really important. And I think that, you know, there's just a missed opportunity there.
All right, ma'am.
Okay.
Thank you. I've just got it. Kamal, am I correct? You said that the time was up.
Well, I'm given a 30-second marker as instructed by the parliamentarian.
Okay. Okay.
You so probably just need to count that 30 from there. She's already done. The 30 seconds are up. Her time is
okay.
Up.
All right, yeah. Ma'am. Thank you. And we appreciate you coming and sharing your thoughts with the LSB. That's what community comments is about. So I'm going to go back.
Thank
real
you for
quickly.
The opportunity.
You're welcome. I'll go back quickly to Irene. I have down your two comments. Is there anything else that you would like to share? Irene and
I'm coming off of mute. I'm sorry. And
okay.
The other thing is there have been some issues that we know that there have been programmers that are accused of certain things, and Mayuki mentioned one on her show, and I would like to know where we are with the program director and the public affairs director as to what the issue, how we are going to address those things. There were many listeners that felt that Mayuki's her show sort of discouraged funds to be distributed to PFW for doing her show or whatever. I'm not saying I felt that way. I'm saying that there are issues out there. There are things out there in the air and how we're going to address those things. Just want to know.
Okay.
How?
Okay. So these are the questions for our PD and also the public affairs director, correct? Is that correct?
That is correct. That is correct. They're not for anybody on this call. They're not for anybody. Therefore, the PD and the PA, public affairs.
Okay. Director. Okay. So we are,
Madam Chair, are we out of community comments?
We're out of community comment. And,
was that last comment part of community comment?
That was after we, okay, let me just share this with you. I think I said thank you to those who took part in community comment and let them know that the space would be available to them again at our next meeting in August. And I did say, Irene, do you have anything else? So, that means we're out of community comment, and I was just getting ready to share with Mr. Byfield. I saw his hand up. I was getting ready to let him know the community comment is closed. Okay. So, since we have, several agenda items ahead of us, what I would like to do is move forward to the, Finance Committee report.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm going to share this. Good. WPFW Finance Committee met on Monday, July 10th, 7 p.m. via Zoom. The agenda was as follows. We convened our meeting. Financial report from management, Gary Parris. Review of July transactions and outstanding accounts payable. Review of preliminary April year-to-date income statement. A FY23 budget update along with an FY24 budget prepped. A question about what our next webinar might be. We took questions and we adjourned. The following information was provided by station management. The ending cash balance in the Truist account as of 6/30/2023. $30,006.89. The ending balance in the United account as of 6/30/2023, $219. The ending cash balance on the day of the meeting, which was July 10th, 2023, in the Truist account was $9,575.17. The outstanding accounts payable for the station as of 6/30/2023, $211,392.38. At the time of the meeting, the general manager was not able to attend, nor was a representative from the station sent in his stay. We went through what information we had, and attempts were made to gather questions for the management as soon as possible for their response. One of the questions was regarding why the bank charges were so high, and could they be additional credit card fees? Another question was, had the payroll for July 14th been submitted and paid? There was a request for a budget narrative from management, and that the LSB/Finance Committee make that request to management to present a budget narrative going forward. There was a question about how much the penalty was for paying rent late. A discussion or a question about whether management has a plan to raise somewhere in the neighborhood of $100,000 or more within the next 30 to 60 days. Are there details from management about this plan, and will they address the deficit of $211,000 plus? Can a forensic examination of the financial information take place? Something short of an audit is what this would be. And there was also a potential implication made that due to the fact that the station is a nonprofit, that a FOIA request may be made to extract further financial information. Some of the members wanted to compare our situation with some of the sister stations. How are we doing relative to their situations financially? Amos Hudson was brought up and identified as one of the ways in which to solve some of the problems concerning the station. There was a suggestion made that the LSB Finance Committee should develop its own plan to raise funds, alleviate the debt, et cetera. A plan would consist of a 2, 4, and 10-year plan, the specific goals being the management of finances / expenses, raising funds, and 3, sharing of information. With all the money, there's another question, with all the money spent on consulting, what is the return on this investment? Why are we paying individuals without expecting them to produce? Request for the from the general manager. There was a request for additional information about the $10,986 raised at the Gerald Horn event. Was this part of the initial pledge drive dollars, or was this up and above the tally that was reported at the prior LSB meeting? Is there a plan to replace the telereps with volunteers during the next fund drive? When does the August pledge fund drive begin? I do have a statement for the payables and the transactions during the month of June. Our next meeting will be on Monday, August 7th at 7 p.m. via Zoom. Thank everybody for their service, and I'll take any questions.
All right. Do we have questions at this time for the chair of the Finance Committee? All right. Hearing none, then we'll move on to next order of business. I'm sorry.
I couldn't unmute.
I can't.
It's Donna.
I'm sorry. All right, Donna, please go ahead.
I was listening, and there are a lot of, you have a lot of questions there, but do you have answers? Yes, there's so many things that were just, that I didn't hear answers to, questions that were raised, a series of questions. Maybe I missed something, but anyway. Do you have answers from the general manager to those questions?
The general manager and I spoke this afternoon. I was expecting him to be here this evening. He's not here. So I cannot speak for the general manager. So as soon as he's present, I'm sure he'll be willing to answer those questions.
Okay, so those questions are still pending. Just checking.
Oh, yeah. Everything is still pending. Waiting on his response. Yep.
Okay. Is there anyone else?
I do.
Okay, and again, Michael, we're back to the LSB board meeting, not community comment. So I'm sorry, we can't take your questions within this time, okay? So, Donna, do you have anything else that you would want to share? If not, would you like to put your hand down?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Welcome.
Okay. Next is the relocation committee report.
All righty. All right. The WPFW Relocation Committee met on Monday, June 26, 2023 at 8:30 p.m. via Zoom. The agenda was as follows. We had a seating of our members, review of the P&B motions concerning this particular committee, We had an introduction of Pete Meheridis, the commercial broker. We developed a list of requirements for the future space, developed a timeline to move out of the current space. We had questions and next steps. During the seating, the members that were seated, Jamal Harris was chair, Jerry Paris, ex officio member, Mo Thomas, ex officio member, Adele Stan, Verna Avery Brown, Ronald Pinchback, Vanessa Dixon Briggs, Wayne Bruce, Sarah Brown, and Irene Jefferson. Some of the next steps that we're asked to do was that Jerry Paris, Mo Thomas, and Sarah Brown agreed to meet and make an assessment of the station's equipment. Both Jerry Paris and Mo Thomas agreed to complete the minimum space needs assessment, what we loosely call our Craigslist, in order to determine total square footage needed to operate the station going forward. We have not scheduled our next meeting, but this is our relocation committee report. Nothing further.
Okay. At this time, do we have questions for the relocation committee? Okay, I see Verna Avery Brown.
Yes. Kamau, I know at that meeting that it was determined that you would meet with Stephanie, the executive director of the network, and to engage in negotiations with how we can stay at our current location and make plans for what the rent would be reduced to. Was there any progress made along those lines?
The executive director, Stephanie, and I exchanged emails. I shared with her all of the communications I've had with the broker, Cushman and Wakefield, over at 1990 K Street. And she and Bruce Pascal have been in communications. I have not been privy to any of those discussions between the two of them. So I don't have anything to report there.
So with our
just email traffic.
With our rent being 2 months in arrears, does that, in your opinion, compromise our ability to negotiate?
In my opinion, it can't help. I don't know all of what the broker and the owner, what they're thinking about in their heads, but I'm quite sure that it can't make them comfortable that we're not, up to date.
So the finance committee chairman also, or the treasurer also, is there any plan to make up for the money that we're owing, $211,000 outstanding? Is there a plan in effect?
We had that question posed at the meeting, and we were awaiting response from the general manager and his staff with regards to what they're planning.
So there's been no plan revealed from the general manager?
Nothing given to me, no.
All right. Bill Curtis, I see your hand up. And then Irene. Bill,
you can unmute. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
So
there you go. Okay.
Okay. Thank you. Quick question, Kamau. Are we looking? I don't know what the station size is at PFW. Never been in it. So we are talking about space, and it seems like you're looking to compare apples to future apples. But as I understand, a little bit of understanding about radio today and people doing broadcasting, this might be an over-exaggeration, but people can do a radio show out of a closet almost. So do we need the same amount of space in this day and time, internet-based, digital, I'm just curious. I do not know. You know, so do we, you know, so basically, do we need to have the same amount of space that's at K Street? Will we need that same amount of space at a new location in this internet age, this digital age? And again, I confess, I don't know. I'm open to really being educated about that. Please.
Oh.
Anyone?
Okay. Yeah, sure. Yeah, not a problem. So I'll tell you what the strategy is in and around the relocation committee. What we were trying to do, and we were lucky at this point, as before we didn't have the general manager nor the engineer present in any of the committee meetings. We have them now going forward. The purpose of the meeting of the committee is to assess what the actual needs are. Right now, over at 1990, there's about a tick over 5,000 square feet. I don't know if we need that. I need our professionals, those who are in the know, to put down in writing what the square footage requirements are for the station to operate efficiently and effectively. Once we have those numbers, we can then proceed to look for properties in that range. If they're telling me all we need is a closet, I'll gladly look for a closet to lease, but we have to have some information to go on before we can actually proceed. So that's the purpose of the committee, to assess the actual needs of the station, make sure we have a solid foundation there, and then go to work with our broker to exactly to grab those type of properties. That's what we're doing.
All right, Irene.
Can I add something to that?
Go right ahead, Sarah.
Okay.
Since you're part of that, go ahead.
Yeah. I'm supposed to be doing some of this research too, and I've sent several requests to get on the general managers and the engineers schedule to meet them downtown. And I think they're too busy to have responded to those emails. But anyway, here's what I've been looking at. I've been looking at comparable stations, and there aren't many comparable stations because we do a big diversity of things, but we don't buy real estate just for the present. We buy the real estate for the future. And the future means that we would have more in-house meetings or on the air programming where you have a higher quality of audio and you can get a lot of body language results. It's just better radio altogether. And one of the things, you look at other radio stations that do some of the things similar to what we do, because they don't have the diversity of stuff we do. But they do it in-house because they want quality and don't want to sacrifice it. Now, if you have to do a remote, okay, if you have to go to somebody's house, then you're going to take the hit on the quality one way or another. There's always going to be lines dropping out. There's always going to be a tinniness to the audio. It's never going to be smooth. It's never going to be 300 to 3,000 cycle kind of audio or better. Okay. So it's a matter of we don't know how much space we need right now. And that's the point of having Craigslist. And that's the point of going to our programmers after we get Craigslist nailed down and saying, hey, what would you like to do? Cause in my opinion, and this is Sarah Brown talking and no other basis, I think if we expand our operation and make it bigger, we'll pull in more money because we're going to pull in more interested audience. And that's what we're aiming for.
Okay. Thanks, Sarah. Let's get on the agenda. They allowed about 10 minutes for this. So I would say to the others that have their hand raised, if you have something different, something that hasn't already been said, please speak up. Kamal or whomever can help with keeping of the time, we're looking at 2 minutes because we do need to move on. So the next person, let's see here. I have, let's see, Ron, Verna, I'm sorry, Ron, Adele, and then Verna. I'm sorry. Yeah, Ron, please go ahead. I'll start with you first.
Okay, just real quick. And answer to, Bill's question about space. He's right. You know, yes, there are things that we can do to compact space and be more efficient and such, but, I would also advocate that one of the things that we want to do is expand our capabilities, which means that we're going to need some kind of room for video content. We've got to make room for that because that's where everybody is. So, you know, these are some of the discussions that we're having. And that's why it's so important that this committee do its work, because these are the ideas that will flow, you know, from all this. So yes, no, you know, yes, we can be smaller and more efficient, but at the same time, we also have to think about those future needs.
All right. Thank you. Adele and then Verna.
Thank you, Minerva. I have worked in radio in various capacities over the years, in satellite radio for the most part, and also been a frequent guest on public affairs shows, including Pacifica's. And what I want to say about, the industry footprint is changing and people can do shows remotely, but, you know, it's not like it's a level playing field. You know, when people at NPR had to go into lockdown, I mean, they were, you know, they had, they were provided with interfaces, high quality interfaces by which they could, hook up into, their NPR affiliate. They had high quality computers that they had probably, I imagine they had dedicated landlines for conducting the internet. So you're not relying on wireless to carry that. And we're dealing with volunteers. So the quality of what somebody can deliver from home is going to really vary from person to person according to their own personal resources. We are in a bit of a different landscape. The other thing I want to say is that there's no substitute for a physical community hub. And just because that disappeared during the time of the acute period of the pandemic doesn't mean that it can't and shouldn't be rebuilt. Thank you.
Well, Addie really just sort of touched upon my point. Bill, it's a good question, a legitimate question, but keep in mind that Pacifica's mission, this is a community radio station. It's hard to fit a community in a closet. And we need to be planning and strategizing on how to expand our reach, our community, our message, everything. I know you're very concerned about us resolving the infighting and getting to the issues. Well, in order to do that, we need to expand. So we were at that place was a fifth of the space that we have now. Do we need all that space that we have? Probably not, but it could be better utilized. Thank you.
All right. Okay. So, thank you, Kamal, for the report, and thank you those who took part in putting this, working on this committee and added your input tonight. The next.
Madam Chair, may I just say one thing in reference to our committee, if I could?
Sure.
Yeah. Thank you. So I take offense at anyone, making a comment about our committee somehow disrupting and being in some way sabotaging what's happening at the station. We work tirelessly, up late nights, phone calls during working hours where folks are trying to do their 9 to 5. We put together a 100-plus page report, of which was reviewed and thoroughly by all of our members, sent up to the PMB for their review. All right. So anyone that needs to understand what we're doing, they need to read the report. Read the report. Very thorough, very detailed. Thank you.
All right. So, again, we're going to move forward. And next we have the PNB report. Julie?